Today's scripture is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I just want to say thanks again to Kylie for being here this morning. I feel like, Kylie, whenever you lead here, you just bring like truth and authenticity, and I just so appreciate it. So that is the kind of community we are, where we show up and we love each other and we create these spaces where we bring our whole selves to God, and whatever that means. And so I'm grateful to be here with you all. I will tell you, I'm a little sad because it is our last week of the Threshold series. And I have really loved this series, not just because it reminds me of Monsters, Inc., which I do like, but because I have heard from so many of you the impact that this series has had on you, the questions that you're asking, the things that are maybe changing for you or shifting for you. And I think it is such an awesome and brave invitation that we as a faith community get to consider that there might be something new that God has for us. But here's what I also know. When we think about new things, it means we have to make some choices. We have to make some choices if we're going to walk through these proverbial doors or if we're not. And as we try to make those choices, there can be a lot of obstacles that get in the way. There can be things that we're afraid of. We can feel like we're not ready. We can wonder if we're making the right choice. There are so many things that just stop us in our tracks and make us want to go the other way. So we're going to unpack some of those things today. And actually, we're doing something a little bit different today. So if you got your bulletin, you can see that there is a blank notes page. As we talk today, I want to encourage you to jot some things down, not because like it's so brilliant, but because I think there's different things that can trip us up as we try to cross a threshold. And so you hopefully are going to hear something in this message that is like, that's me, that's it, that's the thing. But you might also hear something that's for someone else in your life. So I encourage you, use that note page however it's helpful for you. And as we get into this last week of the Threshold series, I want to invite you to pray with me. God, we are grateful for the opportunity for things to change. We're grateful for new beginnings. We're grateful for the risks you invite us to take, even when we are so afraid to take them. God, I pray that today we would just be open to whatever you have to say to us, that we would be open to taking these things that feel so big and scary and offering them to you, because God, we know that when we do that, you don't leave us empty-handed. You work with whatever we give you, and we're so thankful for that. So God, be with us, lead us to new places, and thank you for this time together. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to confess to you this morning that I have a very undesirable personality trait. And this is a trait that I have carried with me ever since childhood. It has shown up in my schoolwork. It has shown up in housework. Ask anyone from my family. It has even shown up in my work. And this undesirable personality trait is that I am a procrastinator. Yeah, okay, thank you, Mark, for raising your hand. Who are my other procrastinators in the room? Okay, so you defy the odds, because what research told me is that like 20% of us do this, but way more than 20% of us do it in here, and I'm so glad to hear that. Because I think sometimes procrastination gets this really bad rap. Like when I was looking up doing research for this message, there was stuff about like lazy, unreliable, doesn't follow through. And I was like, that is not me. I take offense to this. I don't want to be called this stuff. But as I dug into it a little bit deeper, I found that what a lot of procrastinators actually have in common is this. We're perfectionists. Does that resonate with anyone here that procrastinates? We're perfectionists. So that means we want to be ready. We want to do the thing right. And so what do? We just don't do it. We put it off. We say, it's got to be great. And so I'm afraid of getting it wrong. And I have seen this show up in my life so many times. And the time I'm going to tell you about today is actually very relevant. Because if you were here a couple weeks ago, we celebrated my ordination in the United Methodist Church. Very exciting, but lots of work. And so flashback to a year ago, almost a year ago right now, I was writing papers. And when I tell you ordination papers are a lot of work, I'm saying like 30 to 35 pages of paperwork is what we're doing here. So it is so much. And as I was getting ready to write these papers, Pastor Eric, who was here with you last week, he said, hey, our family's going on vacation the week that you're going to write. So why don't you use our house? You'll have a quiet place to write. Like no one will know you're there. No one can find you. You can just write and be uber focused. And he said, the only thing we need from you, just one thing, is to water our garden. Because it's July, it's hot, we don't want all the plants to die, okay? So how much effort do you think I put into watering this garden when a major life project was on the line? Friends, those plants were loved. They were loved, they were tended to. You have never seen someone who did not live in a home care about the plants that were at that home as much as I did. And I thought about it because we do this all the time. We have something so important in front of us. It matters so much. But because we don't think we're ready, because we think maybe something's missing, we kind of put it off. We put it to the side. We want to get it right and we want to be successful. And when we talk about crossing thresholds, when we talk about going to the new places that God has for us, I think whether you're a procrastinator or not, this can apply. Because when we don't think that we have everything we need to make this new thing work, that can be a huge barrier to getting to that new thing. I mean, I want you to think about your own life. When was the last time you were about to make some kind of change and you had that thought go through your head? So think about it. I should apply for this promotion at work. But you know, I haven't been here long enough. I don't know enough people in the company. Maybe you've come here and you see that new person a few rows in front of you and you think, I should talk to them. But it's only my fifth Sunday. So I don't know if I know enough about this church or about God to really start that conversation. Or maybe you've been hearing us talk about our community garden down at 38th and Capitol and you thought, I should volunteer there because it sounds great. But all of my house plants are dead, so maybe I'm not qualified. We have a way of finding these reasons that we're not good enough, we're not ready enough, we're not equipped enough. And I think we really live in a world where we put so much emphasis on being prepared and having credentials. And while that's not a bad thing in and of itself, it can give us that false belief that something's always missing. We can think that we're just not enough to do the things God wants us to do. But I think here's the uncomfortable truth. When God opens doors, God is often opening doors before we are ready to walk through them. And maybe if we mine that a little bit deeper, maybe that idea of being ready is actually a total myth. Maybe we can't ever actually be ready. And you know, I think it's that mindset of wanting to be ready, of wanting to have everything fall into line that can leave us, I know I've been there too, to leave us looking at God as God holds open a door and just say, God, could you come back in a couple of years? Could you wait for me a little bit? Because if you come back later, maybe then I'll be ready. And God wants to do something with us now. You know, this is a temptation that while it plays out uniquely in our time and space, it's not unique to us. This is a temptation people have been wrestling with forever, and we see it in that scripture that Kylie read for us today. See, we're reading here a letter to a church. Now, I know some of you heard the words revelation and you thought, whoa, what's going to happen in this sermon? I'm sorry, it's not that sermon. This is not the apocalypse that you have come for today. And I don't know if you know, but at the beginning of the book of Revelation, before we get to all that stuff, we actually are looking at letters to churches. And so what we see here now is a letter written to a church in a place called Philadelphia. And John, who's writing this letter, he's saying, you know, even though you're surrounded by chaos and idolatry and stuff that just feels really icky and not good, there's something that God has for you. Because somehow, some way, this church has managed to stay faithful. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I'm sure that this church looks at the world around them and says, God, we're not ready for any of this. We're not ready to stand up for what we believe. We're definitely not ready to do something new. And yet John says, church, even if you think you don't have what it takes, I want you to know there's more. Even if you feel like you don't have power, if you don't have authority, you don't need any of that stuff. You don't have to wait until the situation improves or the whole world is for you. God is ready even if you're not. And I think so often in our lives, even if we're not ready, God is. Even if we're not ready, God is. And this scripture that we heard paints this amazing, clear picture for us. It says, God is holding an open door that no one's able to shut. And so that means it's not up to us. It's not up to us having it all together or having some qualification. This one is on God, and that is good news for each and every one of us here today. And so my hope for you is if you are in a place where you have been wanting to walk through a door, if you're standing at a threshold, but you're holding back because you think, I'm not ready because of X, Y, and Z, I hope today maybe you'll let some of that pressure off. Because the hope that I would share with you is that even if you are waiting, you're waiting for yourself to become better or for you to have a new skill or something else, God's not waiting on you to become a better version of yourself, for God to let you live into that purpose that God has. So you don't have to wait on that, because God sure isn't. Now, you might be in a place where you're like, actually, I don't know, I'm not waiting to be ready. Maybe I am ready, I do feel good about that, but what I don't know is if once I move, I'm gonna make the wrong move. I don't know if anyone here wrestles with that, but sometimes when we're making these choices, we get caught up in, what if it's the wrong choice? I mean, what if I walk through that door with all the confidence and I don't like what I find on the other side? I mean, how do we know what the right door is? We have literally four doors up here. Like, how would we choose which one God is actually opening? But I think if we're gonna go through the door, what we have to do is we have to overcome the fear that the one we open might be the wrong one. We have to overcome the fear that we might be opening the wrong door. And that's a major risk with any threshold that we cross over. You know, you take a new step, you start maybe exploring a new idea, and at least in my head, there is this pesky little voice that says, what if you're wrong? And sometimes that voice doesn't just whisper, that voice can shout. That voice can shout and it can repeat, and it can be really hard to see what God has in store because I'm just worried that I might be getting it wrong and doing the wrong thing. But I think even when we hear that voice, what God calls us to do is not get stuck, but keep going. Now, I know that's not easy to do, but that's the way we make progress. That's where we step over these thresholds into opportunity for what's going to come next. And this church in Revelation is such an awesome example of this. You know, they're praised for the fact that they are just living their lives and being faithful. They don't know if they're doing it right. In fact, I would guess that all of the voices around them are probably saying, you're actually doing it wrong. Like, the world around them was not supportive of the fact that they were following Jesus. But the encouragement that John has for them here is just to keep going. He says, sure, get it wrong, open the door, try something new, but don't let the fear of what might happen stop you from following what God has for you. And you know what's so powerful here is that even if we're ready, even if we make all the right choices, even if we do every single thing right, you know that there is so much we can't control. There's so much we can't control. And like it or not, even sometimes the most perfect, ideal doors get shut in our faces. You know, I don't want to minimize that piece of this. Because I know I have been there. I have like stood at the door with the right key. I have turned it just perfect. I've gotten the knob open. We've started to go and then it has slammed. And when you are in that position, it can be one of the most painful faith crisis inducing moments that you ever experience. So I know that that's hard. I know it's so difficult to keep going when you feel like I was just trying to follow God and now the whole thing fell apart. It can feel like we're at a dead end when that happens. But the thing about how I've seen God work in my own life, I hope you've seen this too, is that sometimes a door, even if it's a door we love, even if it's a door we've hoped for, sometimes a door has to shut for another door of possibility to open. Now, I know it's not always obvious at first when that's happening. Again, a lot of times we just feel like we're staring at the closed door, but it's so often that when that first ideal door shuts, that God opens something new. God opens something exciting. God opens something we would never even dream. It makes me think about Martin Luther King Jr. at the start of his ministry. And I feel like this is a part of MLK's story that we don't actually talk about that often. You know, we know Martin Luther King Jr. as the civil rights leader. We know him as this famous pastor. We know him as this larger than life individual. But just like all of us, he started somewhere. And when he graduated from the Boston School of Theology, he was just like so many of us. He was looking for a job. So he's sending out applications. He's trying to figure out where he's going to go for his first pastoring job. And he narrowed it down to two places. He narrowed it down to First Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. And when I tell you he narrowed it down, what I mean is he had a very clear first choice and like a safety school kind of situation, right? Like he wanted to go to Chattanooga so badly. This was a big church, a thriving church. This was the perfect place for him to begin his career as a pastor. It would have launched him into so many good things. And even though it blows my mind to tell you this story today, after all we know, someone in hiring at that church said, "You're not the right fit." I mean, I think someone probably has a lot of regret now at this point in their life. But they looked at Martin Luther King Jr. and said, "Someone else would be a better pastor for this context." He got rejected. The door he wanted more than anything got slammed in his face. But it didn't let him stop his career. So he pivoted and he said, "Okay, I'll go to Dexter Avenue in Montgomery, Alabama, a church that no one knows anything about, that doesn't excite me, but it's the door God has opened." So what's interesting about Dexter Avenue Church is that I visited this church a year ago when I was on a civil rights pilgrimage. Thousands of people a year visit this church on these kinds of trips because a few months after he started, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on the bus, was arrested, and the black church formed a response and asked this brand new pastor, because you always ask the new guy, asked this brand new pastor to lead the charge. So now this is a place you can find on Google. It's a national site. It matters. And it matters because he kept walking through the doors that God opened. You know, I think it matters that we keep going and walking through those doors, not just because it's an act of faithfulness, but because so often we can't even imagine what God's going to do. I promise you, Martin Luther King Jr. did not imagine God would do that when he said yes. When have you had an opportunity to say yes to something that God has used in a way you never could have even dreamed? You know, there's a story in the book of Acts where Paul has an experience like this. We talked about Paul a couple weeks ago, and Paul is this, again, great storied builder of the church, but Paul had some doors slam in his face too. I'm going to share with you a little scripture from Acts 16. I want you to hear this. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So there's door number one. It says, then they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. There's door number two. But then during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing before him and begging, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Did you catch what happened in that story? Paul had a bunch of plans. They were good plans. They were plans to serve God. They were plans to help people, but none of those plans worked out. Paul could have chosen to just give up, to say, this ministry thing's too hard, this life doesn't make sense, I'm trying to serve God, it's not working out, I guess I'm done. But instead, he listened, he paid attention, and in that dream, it started to change his perspective. Because it was because of that dream that Paul realized none of those doors were actually about him. Sometimes we realize that none of the doors we walk through are actually about us. We realize that when God is opening doors in our lives, God's actually doing it so that we can serve others. God opens doors for us that benefit the people and the world around us. You know, one of the people that I know that has lived this out in such an amazing way is Betty Brandt. Now, I don't know if you know Betty. If you're newer to St. Luke's, you might not, but Betty is certainly not new to St. Luke's. She's been here for over 20 years. She's the director of the Community for Contemplation and Justice. She has been one of my dearest co-workers. We're going to hear from her in a moment, not quite yet. But that is the perfect illustration of who Betty is. Betty shows up and does the thing, and she is amazing. And I want you to hear from Betty, because Betty, in just a couple of weeks, is about to turn 80, and she's going to retire. And Betty has lived her life in a way that is faithful, that has walked through doors, and has just embraced the opportunities that God has put in front of her. So let's hear from Betty in her own words.
When Rob asked me to remember when God first opened the door for me to serve others, my mind immediately went blank because it was so far back I couldn't remember a time when that door wasn't open. My years as a marriage and family therapist were years of service for folks who found themselves in a difficult time in their lives. What an honor to walk with a person as they acknowledged pain and move through those feelings to a place of healing. And of course, I remember when I went on my first mission trip with St. Luke's and I fell in love with Habitat, putting up siding and laying flooring and then finally cooking for the teams. Over the years, I went on about 35 mission trips to South Dakota, Oklahoma, Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, Jamaica, and Honduras. What a blessing to work alongside others, providing housing for those who want a home, just like we all do. Of course, the door that God opened that led me here today was in 2000, when Kent Millard offered me the job of directing the Spiritual Life Center. That was the original name for the Community for Contemplation and Justice. I knew from the beginning that the best way for me to serve was to surround myself with smart, hardworking, talented visionaries and make it possible for those people to fulfill their dreams. Some people think that I am a visionary, but I'm not. I'm a servant, and my gift is implementing. God kept opening doors for me and my volunteers, and we kept walking through. Creation care, interfaith relationships, racial justice, tenants advocacy, ending gun violence, pride, labyrinth walking, mindfulness, Stations of the Cross, Taze, the Art Gallery, and even more. All these doors, all these ways to serve you and the larger community. And along the way, I have been richly blessed and have fallen in love again and again. I'm not sure what the future holds for me, but I am sure God will open more doors and I will be blessed to walk through them into new ways to serve. My advice for you, if you want a meaningful life, walk through the doors that God has opened for you.
Well, I'm so grateful for people like Betty and her life and her witness and her, I think, challenge and invitation to each of us that there are reasons that we don't walk through the door. And yet when we do, God's going to do something with it. So this week, I want to encourage you to do this. You've got that note paper. Write down what the thing is for you. What is holding you back from going through that door? And then spend some time this week intentionally lifting that up to Jesus. Because I'm not saying when we pray that everything just poof gets easy and just straight and narrow and all that stuff. But what I would say is when we bring it to God, God does something with that. And God puts opportunities in our path to walk over those thresholds and into new things. Will you pray with me as we go into our closing song? God, it takes a lot of vulnerability and a lot of bravery to even pray a prayer like that. That you would take the obstacles, that you would take the challenges and start to transform them. But Jesus, we know that when we do that, we know when we give these things to you, that you show up. So Lord, show up for us, show up in our lives. Remind us of how you're working and how you want us to be part of that work. God, help us embody the things that Betty shared on that video. That we find meaning, we find love, we find adventure when we walk through the doors that you hold open. Jesus, we pray.